the shadow of your
wings. Hallelujah. Let's put our hands together for the King of Kings. Beloved, put your hands together for Jesus. Indeed, we are saved by the shadow of his wings. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bible says that the entrance of his word brings light. It brings all that you require. It brings deliverance and solution. Praise the name of the Lord. And we're about to hear the word now. I want to appeal to you to just open your heart to receive that which God is about to bring to you. Amen. It will deliver, it will save, it will open your eyes, it will give you understanding. Hallelujah. Beloved, join me as I welcome our pastor. Put your hands together for Jesus as we welcome our pastor, Pastor David Bohafu. Put your hands together for Jesus as our pastor comes up. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Please, can we rise? Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider the words thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe is clear. Then sings my soul, then sings greatness, your power, and your glory in our midst this morning. Come upon me, breath of God, breathe upon me, Spirit of the Lord, as I yield my hands in surrender to your name, O Most High, I am yielding to your Spirit, I am walking in your love. Jesus, I adore. Jesus, I adore. Jesus, I adore your holy name. Jesus, I adore. Jesus, I adore. Jesus, I adore your holy name. Lord, I thank you for boldness to speak your word today. And I ask that you stretch forth your hands to him. Let signs and wonders be done in the name of your holy child Jesus. And we are careful to give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Can we give the Lord a big hand? You may be seated. You know, as I walk into the church, I came quite early. As I entered, the Lord said, "Behold, I make all things new." All things. So I want you to be expectant today because God is going to do great and mighty things. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. I have an unusual title this morning, short message, but very unusual title. God's masterpiece and his master plan. You are God's masterpiece. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2 from the New Living Translation. I read, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." You are God's masterpiece. And you have a master plan also. Now, what is a master plan? A master plan, the master plan of God, accommodates your mistakes and also accommodates the attacks of the enemy to accomplish his purpose. I repeat, the master plan accommodates your errors, mistakes, and also accommodates the devil's attacks because he will attack. And guess what? God will use all that to still accomplish his purpose. So every which way, you are a winner. And I want us to look briefly at the character in the Bible by the name of Joseph. You know, when you read the Genesis account of Joseph, there are some things you can assume, but you could be wrong. For example, we have always believed that the brothers sold him out. No, it wasn't the brothers that sold him out. I'm going to read the scripture for you. It was God that sent him. And Joseph knew. That was why he was able to forgive his brothers. In the book of Psalm 105, Psalm 105, I will read verse 16 and 17. It says, "Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He broke the whole staff of bread." How many of us remember that Joseph had a dream at 17? And that dream was God's purpose and plan for his life. God broke protocol, setting the first son aside and choosing the 11th son. And I came here to announce to you that God is breaking protocols right now. It is possible that you are far behind, but you are going to the front. It is also possible that you are down below, but you are going to the topmost top. All by the major moves of God today. So, the Bible now says in verse 17, he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. Now, I want to look up here. What will you call a 17-year-old boy? Will you call him a man? No. We'll call him, what will you call him? A boy or a teenager, but not a man. But the Bible says that God sent a man. That means with the adversities that Joseph faced, he has matured into manhood. Even without the father knowing, without his brethren knowing. I want you to know that adversity is God's university for promotion. And I want you to understand that you are not here by accident. You are not a mistake. You are not a product of your father and mother coming together. No. Before your father and mother came together, God has already ordained that you show up here. And sometimes, many of us, because of the situation that we are facing in Nigeria, we feel we should be born somewhere else. If you were born somewhere else, you won't be able to fulfill that purpose of God for your life. This is the right place for you to be. Give the Lord a clap offering. And I know some of us will find it difficult to say that. See, the circumstances notwithstanding, God's purpose for your life will still be fulfilled. Amen. You know, when I was born, I thought everything I was supposed to do was in Ghana or maybe in a foreign land, but not Nigeria. But do you know that my auntie, she's late now, the husband is also late, married a Nigerian, an Igbo man by the name of Ibeneme. And the reason they married was because I was coming to Nigeria. Listen to me carefully. It's a master plan. Now, I came to Nigeria on a long vac at age 21. I came for 2 weeks. And I've been here for 40 years. What is that? Master plan. I've had opportunities to travel overseas. I remember one time I was in Christ Chapel and we were supposed to go overseas to the U.S. Everything was supposed to be in place. And you know, one mistake that I always make is to ask God that, Alpha, are you involved in this? So I made that mistake and God said, not yet. That's all he said. He said, not yet. So whilst everybody's passports and visas were ready, my pastor saw me in the church office. I said, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be at the airport. I said, not yet. That's all, not yet. Because, you see, sometimes we say make statements like God is in control. No, he's not. So what do you mean? God is only in control over what is submitted to him. If you don't submit it to him, he will not get involved. It's a very hard truth. The scripture says that trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. He cannot crown your effort with success, like the Living Bible says, if you don't acknowledge him. God must be first or he will never be in any place. He must be number one. I remember one time, a lady who has been believing God for a husband. You know, sometimes we humans will give them names, a senior girl, this one. So this lady now finally found a man that was God's choice for her, but the grandmother did not like the man. The grandmother did not like the man. As if she's the one that is going to marry the man. This is God's choice, but the grandmother said he doesn't want the man. So my wife told this her friend, he said, don't mention to pastor, because if you mention to pastor that mama says he doesn't want this man, there will be trouble. Unfortunately, she mentioned it to me. He said, man of God, I've been believing God for a husband, and finally I feel that this medical doctor is the one that God has ordained for me. I believe that with all my heart. But my grandmother said no. I said, so you want me to pray concerning this? She didn't know the prayer I was going to pray. She said, yes, let's pray about it. I said, Father, standing in my prophetic office, I release this grandmother to go on the other side so that your will can be done. So that your will can be done. 1 week's time, the grandmother was gone. So my wife said, I told you don't tell pastor. And they are married now, having a nice time. I did not kill grandma. All I told God is that she has lived long enough, and you said that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So over to you. Take care of it. And he did. Are you trying to say that if some people gang up against your destiny, God will just overlook them? No, he doesn't. That your purpose will stand. That your purpose will come to pass. If you agree with God, you're the only one that can stop that plan from coming to pass. If you say no to God's yes, then you can't do anything about it. But I want you to know, imagine Joseph growing up as a teenager. One day he just woke up with one foolish statement. Say he had one dream. Say, I had a dream. You know, he had dreams twice. The first one, he said, the 11 stars were bowing to him. No, said the sheaves all stood up and bowed to his own sheaf that was standing. And you know that these are Jewish people and they have knowledge of God. So they understood what he said. In other words, he was going to be a leader over them and they are going to submit to him. That is against the Jewish culture and protocol of anything that they understand. So when they were selling him, they said, and we will see what will become of his dreams. But unknown to the brothers of Joseph, turn to Psalm 80 verse 1. Let me show you something. Psalm 80 verse 1. Are you there? The Bible says, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that what? Leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwelleth between the cherubims, shine forth. What does that mean? It means that God was in charge over Joseph's destiny. And so, when they were thinking of selling him, God has already arranged traders who will take him to where the dream will be fulfilled. Egypt. And when they got to Egypt, they sent him to the slave market. And in the slave market is money power. When they bid, and somebody says 50,000, and somebody also bids 500,000, they will not remember the 50,000 guy. They will sell him to the one that bided highest. And so they get to the slave market, and nobody could buy Joseph except Potiphar, who was linked to Pharaoh, where Joseph was going eventually. He got to Potiphar's house. Everything was going very well. All of a sudden, madam of the house targeted Joseph. It wasn't God. It was the devil. But God used that move. He was accused unjustly and unfairly, and he ended up in prison, where Pharaoh's two servants were already waiting. They had a dream one night. Joseph woke up in the morning. They had put him in charge of the prison. You see, the Joseph anointing takes you. It doesn't matter where they hide you. You will just float to the top. That's the anointing that has come upon you right now. I want you to understand that sometimes, let me use what is happening all over the world, COVID-19. Do you know that COVID-19 will prosper you? It will promote you. It will bring you profits. Nobody is saying amen. You are afraid to say amen. What I mean is that COVID-19 will not stop you from fulfilling your destiny. Because the shepherd of Israel is over your case right now. Potiphar's wife said, this is a fine guy. I want him. Eventually, Joseph refused. Joseph was not bothered about the physical garments because he has lost one before, the coat of many colors. So with him, it wasn't a problem. So as Potiphar's wife held his garment, he released it for her. Take it. What was he telling Potiphar's wife? I have a garment that you can't see. It's a garment of honor and dignity. And it's a garment of God's blessing. Do you know that you can wear the blessing of God as a garment? Genesis 27, verse 27. The Bible says that Isaac said, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that God has blessed. The blessing of God carries an aroma. It rejects the bad and attracts the good. Anywhere you go. That was why when Jacob told Laban he was leaving, Genesis chapter 30, verse 27, Laban said, I have learned by experience that God has blessed me because of you. In other words, if you leave, my blessing is going. You will not go anywhere. Conqueror's Chapel, I came to announce to you that if they sack you in that organization, you are going to suffer loss. Sincerely. You must understand that you carry God's blessing. When you marry a guy or a lady, if a lady marries a guy, he brings blessing to the guy's life. If a guy marries a lady, blessings. Why? Because you are carrying something that you need to be conscious of. The enemy can see it. You know what the devil said to God? Job chapter 1 verse 12. Have you not put an hedge around him and blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land? You touch what he has and he will curse you to your face. Did Job curse God to his face? No. Why? Because Job, you see, when you lose every other thing in life, make sure that you don't lose your connection with God. Because if you don't lose that connection, break that connection, all that you have lost is just a matter of time. As I step into the church, I saw that the word for Concourse Chapel is restoration and recoveries. As I was getting ready to come, I was showing my daughter this morning the prophetic word that God gave me. He said, command the supernatural restoration. Command it. And every day of the remaining days of this year, 2021, we're going to be commanding restoration and recoveries in your lives. So Joseph landed in prison. Two of Pharaoh's servants had dreams. And guess what? They didn't know what it meant. The interpreter of dreams was already in the house. He said, why are your faces sad? He said, we have had dreams, we don't understand. Tell me your dream. Interpretation belongs to God. So they told him his dream and interpreted it. And within 3 days, what he said came to pass on Pharaoh's birthday. And when he interpreted that dream, he told them that, remember me when you are released. Because I've been put in prison for something I did not do. What is going on? How can somebody go to prison for something he did not do? It is part of the master plan. 2 years after, he didn't remember Joseph till after 2 years, because there was a time frame for the master plan. 2 years. Remember that we read in Psalm 105, verse 16, that he commanded famine. 2 years after, Pharaoh had a dream, which was repeated twice. And they called Joseph to the dream. Now, take note of something. There's something that many of us did not recognize, acknowledge that Joseph did. When Joseph was going to see Pharaoh, what did he do? He shaved his beard. Why? Egyptians don't like beards. But Jews, there was a time that David's men, they shaved their beard. He told them to remain there until the beard grew back. But Joseph had studied the Egyptians, that they didn't like beards.